First off, thank you all for coming to Sunday Out of the Box. As you know, we're in various homes around the city, and you've chosen to come to this one. I know it was a little ways away for a few of you, so thank you for taking the effort to do it. That's just the awesome part of it. The whole point of what we're wanting to do in Damascus Road is make it not just about a certain few people, but seeing that we all need to be involved in it. And being in people's homes is a really good way of showing that. And even if you look back in the Bible in Acts 2, it talks about they used to meet from house to house. And that is just a really good way of people connecting with other people and feeling like, hey, we're part of something. You come into my house, I go into your house. And it brings a closeness. There are two major topics that we want to talk about this morning. One of them is what we can do within sort of the organizational framework of Damascus Road stuff. So what we do on Sunday mornings or things like that, of how you can be involved in the stuff that we are already doing. The second topic then is how we as individuals, how we as the church can be involved in stuff outside of just ourselves, how we can be involved in the community, how we can be involved in helping the needy or other people around us, and not just being stuck in the box of, okay, we're in the stay okay on Sundays, and we're used to it, and we're comfortable, and we're nice with that, but how we get out of that box and touch the lives of people around us. So those are the main two thoughts that we're coming with. For a little scriptural background on some of it, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." This is the main verse. "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Each of us should use whatever is the gift that we've been given to serve others. And you may have more than one gift. The main part of this is that God gave to us first. So we are to be generous people because God first gave generously to us. There are three kind of main things that we look at in that. There's your time, your talent, and your treasure. T, T, and T. It all goes together nicely. God gave you time. You did not put yourself on this earth. You did not decide how long that you will get to live. God is the one who's given you your time. So as God gave to us, then we should use our time and give generously to other people. Your talents. You can develop your own talents, but God gave you some of those talents. I see it with music especially. There are some people who really just have a talent for it. They have rhythm. There are some people, no matter how hard they try, I'm sorry, but you don't have some of those same talents. God just didn't put that into you to be rhythmic with some of that stuff. So even if you think,
sorry,
oh,
about the second verse.
We all have talents, and some of that was inborn. Some things you develop, but God gave it to you in the first place. And you realize that. God made me this way. God made Matt a good guitarist. He did a good job this morning. You guys did great. So, talent, and then treasure just means all of those other things you have. It's money, it's your house, it's your bicycle, it's all of those other kind of material things that we have. Those count as our treasure. And we realize that that stuff also came from God. Sometimes we see it as more direct. Sometimes it's maybe indirect. If God gave you the ability to do work so you can buy those things, or God gave you the family that you're in so that they could help provide some of those things that you have. God has been at the back of all these things. And so we see generosity as something that's just us being like God. God gave to us, so we give to other people. Jesus even said in Luke chapter 6, of give and it will be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, in the measure that you give to other people, it's going to be given to you. It's this idea of a stream that flows out, and the more it gives out water, the more water that comes into it, because it's not just standing still. And the talents you have, the treasure you have, the time that you have, you shouldn't just have it standing still in your life. But as you use it, you'll find that you're getting more back from it. So there are three main facts that we should have down. Number one, every believer, every person has a vital function in the church. You're not insignificant, no matter who you are. Everybody has something that they bring. The second one is that everyone, all these members, were meant to use those to strengthen, encourage, and support each other. And then the third one is that the mission of all of these members together will only happen when everybody's doing their part. It's like a big puzzle, right? You can be putting together a puzzle. If you don't have some of those pieces, even if it's like the piece that's all brown, it doesn't look that pretty, but you need that piece in the puzzle, or it's just frustrating because you see that there's pieces missing of the puzzle and it's not cool. My mom loves to do puzzles. And you have that, like, if you lose a piece from a puzzle and you're searching all around the house just so you can find this piece because you want it to just be done. That's what it can be like in church. Of it's noticeable when pieces are not there. And each one of you is a part of it, whether you're a corner piece, a center piece, you're the eye of a puppy in this cute puzzle, or whether you're the tip of a mountain or just a piece of sky, you're important. So those three facts, that everybody has a function, everybody's supposed to use it to help each other, and the church will only be able to do it when we're all using it together. And then as you serve people, it's amazing that you realize the more that I'm helping people, it seems like my needs are getting met. When I turn my eyes off of myself is normally when I feel best, just as a personal thing. I'm happiest when I'm not just always trying to make myself happy, but when I'm looking towards the needs of other people. It's sort of like when Jesus says in Matthew that seek first the kingdom of God. Put that as your top priority, and everything else that you need will be given to you. If you look towards the needs of what God wants to do with his kingdom, through his church, through his people, in your community, all this other stuff is going to come along. But alone, we're not able to accomplish it. Another verse, this is actually the last one before we start discussion, is Romans 12. I love this. I had to memorize this when I was a kid. I don't have it all memorized now, but that's why I'm reading it. Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with a sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has given to you. For just as each of us has one body, but has many members, and these members do not all do the same thing, so in Christ, we, though we're many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy, in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then encourage people. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Putting other people's needs before you is the big thing. So, now, kind of in topic one. Which leads us directly into topic two. We want to be serving God by serving the city and the needs of its people, whether it's the hurting, the confused, the homeless people I see walking around, the poor, widows, orphans, addicted people, abused people. James 1:27, it says, "The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Damascus Road is not going to be a church that avoids getting its hands dirty. We want to be the kind that are touching people. Just like Jesus would touch lepers, he would touch the destitute, the sick, prostitutes. He would touch dead people and raise them back to life, just as he was one that was a hands-on person, not just, "Oh, I'll send them money or I'll have someone else do it." Jesus wanted to get involved in people, and that's what we want to be. That we want to be his light to this world, being his heart, his hands, his feet. Just like he says in Matthew 25:40, when Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whatever you did for these that are brothers of mine, you did for me." We want to be helping Jesus, and we want to be Jesus to those people who need the help. So,
I look forward to what God is going to do for us after this. And that, as we're all part of that puzzle, we will all get to be a piece of it. I see some cool people in this room, and I see some good talents and treasures and time that we have. So, God bless you. Thank you all for coming. It's good to have you here.
You're here.